Hello, everyone. Let's take just a minute and let everyone into the Zoom. I'm going to promote Coach Dina. She will be with you in the chat and helping me if the Q&A gets crazy. Okay. I am Coach Kathy. I am subbing in for the amazing Coach MJ today because MJ had a really great opportunity to go to a conference close by that included speaking author David Goggins. So if you have not read anything by David Goggins, he is very inspirational. he lost 100 pounds. Got healthy, went into the military, did all kinds of amazing things, and now he's a motivational speaker. And I can tell you, MJ is really excited about seeing him. So I'm thrilled for her. His book is called, the one I have is called Can't Hurt Me, but I think he has other books as well. And I'm pretty sure at least Can't Hurt Me is in Corinne's favorite books list on the website. So if you are new to No BS, welcome. This every Wednesday we do a Q&A based on the theme of the month, and this month's theme is the February Self-Love Challenge, losing weight with love. And it has an awful lot this week, this month has an awful lot to do with how you talk to yourself, how you think about yourself, the way you care for yourself as you lose weight. I think it's very, very common for us to lose weight because we hate ourselves. We hate how we look. We hate that we can't get around. We hate how our clothes fit. None of that helps, y'all. None of that helps. We have to love ourselves, trust ourselves, and be the kind of person that we want to be when we now. As we lose our weight. Okay, so we want to like think about who we're going to be when our weight's gone and back that up and start being that person today. How we care for ourselves, how we love ourselves today will affect us on the way down and will only grow and blossom into more and more self-compassion, self-awareness, and self-love. So I love, love, love that we do this every February for Valentine's Day. So if you're new, like I said, if you're new, this is a Q&A that is specific to the theme of the month. If you have not finished the No BS course yet, please do that first. Please do that first. The very basics of self-love and self-care are in Module 6. It's an amazing addition to our No BS course. I love it. Love, love, love that she has added basic human needs to our No BS course. Now, just a quick overview on how this month is going to go. There is on the website, there's a page under, I believe it's under courses, right, Dina? Courses called This Month in No BS. On that page, you'll see a really sweet video from Coach Mish and Coach Ashley as they preview the month. You get three steps, a three-step process for doing this work. Step one is to set your goal for the month. Y'all have probably seen this in the Facebook page, in the Facebook group, all the little graphics. If you're not in Facebook, send us your goal at support@pnptribe.com. We'd love to support you there. I've seen everything from I'm going to maintain this month to I'm going to lose 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds this month. What you pick doesn't matter. It just gives you a focus as you learn these self-care tactics and wrap the basics around them. It gives you a focus so that at the end of the month, you're feeling really good about the way you did this. So, step one is set your goal. Step two is follow the four basics and track the self-love habits. So, inside the guide for the month, it's called the No BS Self-Love Weight Loss Blueprint on page 13. There is a really simple little three-section habit tracker for self-love. The first one is say something nice to myself. Excuse me. Say something nice to myself. If you have ever listened to Mel Robbins, she's big on this. She's big on giving yourself a high five every day, being nice to yourself, talking to yourself in the mirror, that kind of thing. The second one is take a self-care action. And that could be anything you did to care for your body. It can be water, it can be rest, it can be movement, it can be lotioning, it can be fixing your hair a different way, any kind of self-love thing that you do for your body. And the third one is celebrating a win. Did you acknowledge one thing you did well today, no matter how small? Now, I'm going to tell you, some days that's a tough one for me. Okay? Some days the thing I celebrate is that I brushed my teeth in the morning or that I took my shower, because those are ways that we care for ourselves, right? We keep our teeth clean, we keep our body clean. Some days, those days that feel like a shit show, y'all, sometimes it's hard to find a win, but they're always there, even the little bitty ones. And it's in celebrating the little bitty wins that you begin to see all the amazing things that you do for yourself. So that's on page 13. I will say this. I have private clients who have taken these three things and put them on their monthly habit tracker in their planner. So you can do that as well if you want to combine the two. And then step three is to watch the themed calls. So every call this month, from the Tuesday night calls, like the feelings call and the binge call, the sex and body image call, nighttime eating call, to the Wednesday Q&As, are all themed for self-love this month. So make sure you have those on your calendar. Pick the ones that you think you can go to, catch the repeats, catch the recordings in the Private Member podcast or on the website, just so you can immerse yourself in how to care for yourself with love this month and lose weight. As a bonus, if you want to go through the self-love course, that link is on the website. That's for our deep dive folks who love to do all the things. It's not required, y'all. If you are already overwhelming by what I've told you, pick what works for you. Pick the things that will be the most impactful for you and consistently do those. Okay? I love how Corinne is expanding our definition of self-care this month. Love, love, love. You know, I've already talked about module six of No BS, where she talks about the basic human needs. But when we wrap eating when hungry, stopping at enough, feeling our feelings, managing stress, finding comfort without eating into self-care, it just makes things so much bigger and more expansive and helps us learn that we are worth this work, that self-compassion is available to us no matter what happens during our day, no matter whether we overeat or undereat or make a mistake or, you know, whatever happens, self-compassion, self-care is always, always available to you. Okay? I'll finish these opening remarks with something one of my private clients writes on the top of her plan every day that I think is so impactful. She says, "I want to give my body the fuel it needs without creating extra work." I'm going to say that again. I want to give my body the fuel it needs without creating extra work. Now, what does extra work mean in this? It means if she overeats and she's eaten more than her body needs, her body has to take resources from other areas of her body, maybe her brain while she's thinking, maybe her, I don't know, her respiration. You know, other areas in order to process the extra food. If you are giving your body exactly what it needs when it needs it, you are running an efficient machine. So I love that she writes that every day. That's top of mind every day. I want to give my body the fuel it needs without creating extra work. How is that? I mean, don't y'all think? I mean, does that resonate with anybody else? What a caring, loving gesture that is when you're caring about your body. I just think it's amazing. So I wanted to share that with you and give you that to think about. Okay. Dina just posted. I'll let you know too if you have questions while I go through our eating when hungry hack. Please post them in the Q&A. We're here for an hour, y'all. I am yours for an hour. Ask me all the things. Okay? All right. So somebody, I guess it was Corinne, promised you a hack about an easy hack about how to eat when you're hungry. And I thought about this for a minute. And I thought, I've been around for a little while, right? And I thought, what kind of hack would be easy that, maybe some of you have thought of before, but I can add a little twist to, because y'all know I'm real big on this checking in with our bodies thing now, because of all I'm learning about the nervous system, about what our bodies can tell us, and all the things. So here's what I came up with. I think this is kind of cool. Have y'all ever heard about the concept brain hunger versus stomach hunger? Anybody ever heard of that? Here's what that means. Brain hunger, if you think about when your brain says, I might be hungry, is that true hunger? Is it emotional hunger? Is it a habit? Is it a thought? An example might be when you say, it's 3 o'clock, it's time for a snack, without checking in for hunger. Or it's lunchtime and I should be hungry. I haven't had anything to eat all day. It's a thought, right? Or I need a break. Oh my gosh, things are so stressful. Let's go get a snack. All that's brain hunger. All that is your brain saying, we need food to manage this. Or I'm worried I'm not getting enough to eat. It's not checking in with your body. It's like you've sectioned off your head from the rest of your body when you're following brain hunger. But then stomach hunger is more like checking in with your body to see if your hunger signals are there. All right. So it's, either very cognitive, very thought focused, or it's body centric. So signs it might be stomach hunger would be our hunger signals, like a growl or an empty feeling in your stomach or a loss of focus. What do you think of that, right? It's like taking what we know hunger feels like in our body versus what we think about being hungry or what we think about when we want food. So the difference is neck up or neck down, right? Is this making sense? Y'all, give me some kind of emoji or reaction that this is making sense to you. It's pretty cool to think about it this way, right? Because we can, y'all, how many times, all of us, I bet Dina too, all of us have overridden what our body tells us it needs or doesn't need with what we're thinking. Right? It's fascinating. It's fascinating to me to think about it in those terms. Above the neck, thoughts, below the neck, true body hunger, what we need, what our body needs. Kind of goes back to what my client says, right? I want to give my body the fuel it needs without creating extra effort. Okay. Then I went on and I started thinking about this stress affect hunger. Okay. So stress, work stress, home stress, kids being crazy, whatever it is that causes stress for you, can create the urge to eat, to relax, right? Which is brain hunger. But stress really doesn't affect body hunger, right? You feel stressed and your body wants to feel not stressed. So the brain comes in and says, I can fix this for you. Let's send up an urge to eat, right? Fascinating. Yeah, I mean, you can be stressed right after having finished dinner, so you're not hungry. But there is this need to comfort and relax. So you might go get more food, or you might have a sweet, or you might dive into the ice cream. So, what does stress eating do? It distracts you. It might even regulate your nervous system. It definitely relaxes your mind when it's focused on food instead of, what's going on around you, the kids, the work, the boss, whatever's stressing you. But what does eating do, right? or not do? Sorry, what does eating not do? It doesn't solve the issue. It doesn't allow the emotion. Well, it allows the emotion to fade, but it doesn't allow the emotion to be processed. And it doesn't give you the gift of compassion and normalizing. So let's scenario this a little bit. Sorry. Getting over the COVID, y'all. Let's scenario this a little bit. Eating does distract, right? And eating does, in the moment, make you feel better. But it has the unintended consequences, and it doesn't help you strategize how to manage the boss, the work, the kids, the partner, whatever is stressing you at the moment. Right? So that means you end up in a stress cycle. You distract from it. You give yourself a little bit of temporary relief, and then guess what? Boom, here comes the stress again. But if you don't eat, if you think about the stress, if you analyze it, if you recognize the urge, then you can go, okay, what's my next best step here? If it's not eating, what is my next best step? Maybe it's giving myself some space, breathing a little bit, taking a walk, getting some sunshine, right? So this is where we use pause plus permission. Anybody know what pause plus permission is? It's one of my favorite tools to give y'all. Pause plus permission is telling yourself under stress, when I want to eat, I can eat, but I have to try something else to calm myself first, to analyze, evaluate, assess this stress first. Some people start, if you've never done it before and it seems hard to you, just start with 1 minute. But if you can get it to 10 or 15 and you're actually working on what's causing the stress, guess what? Probably won't eat. So in the pause, do some form of self-care. Some form of self-care. And that can be anything out of that module six. It can be taking a bath. It can be taking a walk. It can be just sitting in a quiet place for a minute. It can be taking a deep breath. It doesn't have to be like self-care, manicures, pedicures, and all that. That doesn't, I mean, that's such a narrow definition. Anything you do for yourself to help yourself feel better, any kindness you give yourself is self-care. So for me, when I'm stressed, my go-to is to get out in the sunshine. Y'all have heard me say that. Call a friend. Get in, ask coaches. What if that was your self-care? Oh my gosh, Dina, that's a good one, right? What if your self-care is getting in, ask coaches and going, I'm using you right now for my pause plus permission. I'm stressed. I just need to get this out. I can't wait for, I'd love to have your response. Yeah. As coaches is an amazing thing to do in the pause before you eat. Because actually, that's a form of journaling, right? You get in there, you start typing it out. By the end of you typing it out, you've either, at least you have left it for someone else to help you with. But sometimes you get to a point where you're like, oh, wait, maybe this isn't so bad. Maybe I can manage this without eating, right? So, just to recap real quick, I only have one question, y'all. Y'all got to work me harder than that, okay? So get your questions, put them into Q&A. But to recap, my simple hack is think about brain hunger above the neck. What are you telling yourself that makes you think you need to eat? Versus body hunger, stomach hunger below the neck. What is your body saying it needs? Does it need love? Does it need care? Does it need a deep breath? Does it need food? Right? Which is it? Brain hunger or stomach hunger? And then stress or any kind of stress, y'all. I'm talking about stress is a big umbrella term. It can be anxiety, it can be fear, it can be anything that is stressing you. Doesn't really need food to solve it. In fact, food won't solve stress. Food will only postpone stress. Right? What's needed for stress is self-care, self-assessment, self-evaluation, deciding what your next best step is, giving yourself the gift of a little care, And then how do you do that? You use pause plus permission. Okay. So if you have any questions about that, throw them in the Q&A. I think I have covered all of my points, so I'm going to go ahead and get started with questions. Okay. Let me close this up. All right. Celeste says, this is coming at just the right time for me. I'm just getting over influenza A and pneumonia. Oh my goodness. The doctor put me on prednisone for the next few weeks. I was fighting all the way. My brain said it was hungry. I'm feeling at odds with my body, trying to figure out what's actually hunger and what's medicine playing with me. I appreciate any thoughts you have. I think you have to trust your body on this, Celeste. And Corinne talks about this in the guide. Y'all's gonna see all my notes, but y'all seen the guide? She talks about trusting your body in the guide. And, you know, I know there is this theory out there that steroids create weight gain. I've not experienced that. Okay. If the steroids affect your hunger, just be curious about it. Be curious. You know, and if you're hungry and the steroids are affecting your hunger, eat and see what happens. But don't just eat jackass foods. Eat something nourishing. This is, you know, on my calls, on my feelings calls, I talk about the five core pillars, okay, which are very, very similar, almost reflective of Corinne's self-care module. One of them is nutrients. Our bodies need the food individually. Our bodies need certain foods that make us feel really good. A lot of us try to eat protein in the morning because it energizes us throughout the day. Some people don't. You know, some people feel better without having breakfast at all. So I think, Celeste, you need to trust what your body is telling you, not what your brain is telling you. Okay. I will say, I just did a big post, well, a week ago. I did a post in the membership that's still getting a lot of traction about how I think about my body when I'm sick. So I'm getting, like I told you, I'm getting over COVID. I don't really have a sick protocol other than to eat when I'm hungry, stop when I've had enough, and give my body the nutrients it needs to heal. So I don't think that's diet mentality. I think that's trusting myself and what I think I need in order to make my body feel good. I'm not following somebody else's rules. I'm creating my own. And I think that's what I would suggest to you, Celeste, is create your own version of what feels good in your body that will help you heal, regardless of the type of medication you're on. I can tell you, after I had my breast cancer diagnosis, almost 2 years ago, they put me on an estrogen blocker. Okay. And when your body, when you're a woman's body is without estrogen, it can disrupt any weight loss efforts. Excuse me. So I think about that and I think, all right, this is the care I'm giving my body is the medicine so that the cancer goes away and never comes back. But if that means I gain 10 pounds, I think I'm okay with that because my body is reacting exactly like it's supposed to. I haven't changed my diet, still getting my water, moving more, all the things, but it's added 10 pounds. So maybe that's okay. Because I am doing what I can to nurture my body. I'm following hunger, following enough. So, kind of went off on a little road there, but I hope that helps you, Celeste. Let me know if it doesn't, okay? Callie, any suggestions on letting go of the guilt for taking time for yourself, self-care, when you feel like you need to push through to get the next thing done? Yes. Oh my gosh, I coach on this a lot, Callie. So, I will use the 3 o'clock snack example. Okay. Many times when we're at work, when I was at work, man, y'all, I could set a clock by my urge for a snack at 3 o'clock. Didn't mean I was hungry. But what I think it meant was my body was asking me for a break. My brain, using all this energy in this logical cognitive brain of yours, needed a rest. And so if I gave myself that rest, guess what? For the rest of the day, I was more productive and more efficient. So the thought I'd like to offer you, Callie, is when your brain offers you the need for self-care, when your body offers you the need for self-care, think, if I take this 10 minutes to just rest for a minute or get outside for a minute or sit in a quiet place for a minute, I am actually improving my productivity and efficiency for the rest of the day. There's this old saying, y'all have heard it a million times, you can't pour from an empty cup. So it's your opportunity. That little bitty break is your opportunity to add back into your cup so that you can continue to give all day long to whomever you're giving, work, kids, partner, friends. Okay. So that's what I would tell you. That's the thought I would give you. That micro moment of self-care is actually going to benefit you throughout the day. Okay. Anonymous says, when you use pause plus permission, is it good to set a timer or are you trying to distract and forget so a timer would just bring up the reminder that you wanted something? I think a timer is fine. If that helps you, so sometimes people are really, really urgy, okay? And if that helps you give yourself a time frame before you eat and it helps you, make the entire time that you have, maybe it's 2 minutes. We used to have these little 2 minute urge timers. You can set a timer on your phone. Whatever it is, if that helps you manage that time frame, I think a timer is fine. I think it's going to be up to you and how you react to it. So I would try it. But make sure you're using that time wisely. I don't want you sitting there staring at the timer, going, as soon as this is done, I'm going to eat. As soon as this is done, I'm going to eat. In the pause. To use the pause properly, you have to do some sort of self-care. Okay? So even if it's just watching the timer and taking some deep breaths, maybe it's lowering your shoulders. Y'all, we sit like this all the time with our shoulders up and that tension across the back of our necks. What if you just lower your shoulders? I know it's not as pretty. We don't have as pretty shoulders when we lower them, but releasing that tension can also help with the need to eat. Okay, so think about where's the tension in my body? How can I breathe through this and see if the urge passes? Okay. What are some ideas for quick self-care for pause plus permission when I'm at work? I'm in a fast-paced environment where I can't take a lot of time to calm the stress. I know breathing is one, but I would like some more examples. I got you, girl. I got you, Stony. Some of the things I suggest are when you go to the bathroom, walk to the next furthest bathroom or go to the floor above or the floor below. Same thing with the copier. If you're going to use the copier, don't go to the one that's right outside your office. Go to the next furthest one. That's going to give you just enough break to add in some breathing, to think about, what you want to think about, to connect back to yourself. Maybe you're going, today's a busy day and I'm really managing it like a boss. What if you just tell yourself that? You give yourself a little bit more time on those little errands outside your office to tell yourself what a great job you're doing, right? So, one thing I do, especially when I get overwhelmed, excuse me, when I get overwhelmed, I catch myself going, I don't know what to do next. It could be this, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. And my brain starts to go bonkers, right? I will take I think it's 6 minutes. It's only 6 minutes for me to walk down my stairs, out my front door, up the street, around the cul-de-sac, and back. And by the time I have just given myself that space, I'm ready to come back to work and I know my next step. So anything like that that gives you just a minute to calm your brain will re-energize you. I have a client who also works in a very fast-paced environment. And one of the things she does is she meditates before she goes to work. I don't know if y'all are meditators. I don't know if that sounds weird or not, woo or not, but a 4 or 5 minute meditation can actually help you throughout the day. It's like you're training your brain to focus in that 4 or 5 minutes, and your brain practices that throughout the day. So it helps you maintain a lower level of stress if you give yourself that gift in the morning. You can get Hillary listens to guided meditations. That's the only kind I can listen to. Y'all, seriously. This girl can't quiet her brain long enough to just sit in the quiet. I have to have a guided meditation, or I give myself one. Here's one for you. When I'm outside, sometimes I will just stand out on my deck. I gotta check my note. Sometimes I'll just stand out on my deck, especially if it's cold or if I'm not feeling real good or something like that. And I'll think about 5 things I can see, 4 things I can touch, 3 things I can hear, 2 things I can smell, 1 thing I can taste. It takes about 45 seconds, y'all. It's not that hard. But in that amount of time, you have disconnected from whatever's stressing you and connected with all the things around you that you enjoy. So it's, I'll say it again, 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, 1 thing you can taste. It's called this type of meditation is called orienting. Kind of, you can do it at your desk, you can do it outside, anything like that. So those are some ideas for you, Stoney, on how to manage this pause. Okay, that would be a really great idea, actually. Hillary, how could this pause plus permission apply to a stressful phone call with a parent about my daughter? Eating Hershey Kisses on the phone call, I realized I was doing it, stopped for a moment, and then went right back to it after the phone call was over. Maybe going outside, getting out of the kitchen. Yeah, 2 great ideas, right? Tell yourself, I don't eat on the phone, first of all. Okay, so maybe you carry the phone and you go outside the kitchen. Then you hang up the phone, you evaluate the stress, kind of like what I was talking about in the pause. Decide what your next steps are. Do a little breathing, a little grounding. Think about, try and pull yourself back closer to home base if you're super stressed. Then think about what logically your next step is. What you want to do, Hillary, is you want to pull your conscious brain online. And what that means is most of the time when we're going through our day and we're managing stress, our habit brain is in charge. It's the most efficient thing. It's just taking care of us. It's just doing all the things. It's sending up all the thoughts. It's sending up all the urges. But you get to evaluate what your habit brain tells you with your conscious brain. So let's say after this call, my habit brain says, "Girl, that was a call. That was something. You deserve a snack." Okay. You ever heard that one? You deserve a snack. I get to, that's my habit brain talking. That's my habit brain just going, I'm going to take care of you, Kathy. I got you. We'll just go get a snack and that'll relax us for a minute. But then I get to use my conscious brain and go, I can relax without a snack, habit brain. Thank you so much for your input. In fact, I think I'm just going to go take my quick 6-minute walk right now so that I can transition into the rest of my day. See how that can work? Your habit brain is just trying to help you out based on what it knows. You get to question what it offers you. So that's what I would offer you, Hillary. When your habit brain says, I'm on this phone call, man, this is a tough one. I need some Hershey Kisses. You get to go, you know what? I don't want to really sound like I'm eating while I'm on this phone call. So I'm going to leave the kitchen. And then when you hang up the call, you can decide, is eating what I really need right now? Or do I need to solve this for me and for my daughter? Okay. Is timed eating useful if I get anxious because I have a fear of getting too hungry? Timed eating, I think, is more for finding enough. Okay. If you get, so I would be curious about anxious because I have a fear of getting too hungry. Because we don't teach in No BS that you have to wait for extreme hunger or being too hungry to eat. Kryn teaches that. When you have the whisper of hunger in your body, not brain hunger, stomach hunger, the whisper of hunger in your body, it's time to eat. And if it's not mealtime yet, either eat your meal early or eat a plain snack. And that's okay. So If you are anxious about getting too hungry, don't allow yourself to get too hungry. Put a snack in your purse, but don't eat it because you think you might get hungry. Wait for that whisper of hunger. And if you still have trouble with that, with being anxious about even waiting for hunger, hit us up and ask coaches, okay? Or get on a coaching call and we can help you work through that. A lot of times, being anxious about getting too hungry just pulls us back into childhood, maybe when we had to go without, or when we had to fight our brothers and sisters for the last bit of food, you know, the last bit of leftovers or something like that. You might also, Roseanne, comfort yourself by saying, you know what? I'm grown now. There's plenty of food here. It's okay if I get the whisper of hunger because I know exactly where the food is. I have a plan. It's already ready. Everything is okay. Okay? So sometimes having that kind of dialogue with yourself will help as well. Carolyn says, can you please speak more on the topic of stress eating only postpones the stress? You sounded energized by the concept. Please tell me more. Thank you. Yeah. This is actually something that I teach inside the Calm and Confident program and something I work with my private clients on a lot. Any kind of emotion, any kind. So if you think of stress as like an umbrella and your body is stressed because you have feelings of anxious, fear, anger, sadness, anything like that. If you don't honor that feeling, understand it. Corinne talks about this in the lesson two of the self-love course, Feelings Matter. She talks about the chemical cocktail an emotion will stir up in your body. So if you get like super anxious, your body reacts by giving you a lot of adrenaline and cortisol, right? That's the bubbly feeling that you get in your body. If you don't allow that to burn off naturally, which it will, if you don't amplify it, it will burn that off naturally, then you won't be able to solve for it. What happens when we eat is we suppress that emotion. Okay? We suppress that stress and it just pops back up. It's like the beach ball effect, Carolyn. You ever heard that term? Where if you're standing in the ocean and you push a beach ball under the water, that's what you're doing when you eat over an emotion. But you turn your back on the beach ball, and what does it do? It pops right up in the air. So it becomes a cycle. You feel stress, you eat, you suppress the emotion. Guess what? You're going to feel the stress again. But if you think about what's stressing you, you manage it, you solve it, you allow that emotion to burn off, then you have at least grown into, I understand what it feels like. The adrenaline and cortisol have burned off, and now I know what my next step is. So it kind of disrupts that cycle. Does that make sense? I find all this body-centric stuff very, very fascinating because it's not like woo stuff. It's how our biology works. And when we know how our biology works, we can work with it to lose our weight and to feel our best and to manage our stress. So let me know if that doesn't answer it for you, Carolyn. Joan says, my brain hunger tells me that I'm going to starve and get in a panic. It's hard to pause when I feel this feeling. What's the next best step? You question it. Is that really true, Joan? If your body is hungry, you feed it, right? But if your brain's saying, girl, if you don't eat, you're going to starve, that's like, you know, of course that's panic, right? But it's panic because you're not questioning that thought. Okay? So if your brain is telling you, I'm going to starve, I'm going to starve, whether you're, and you're not hungry, all you have to do is step into your body and go, oh, sweet pea, you're not hungry yet. It's okay. We're not going to starve. We have plenty of food. You know, it's almost like, you know, I talk about putting your hand on your heart. If you're on this call and you haven't done this, put one hand right here, maybe cover it with the other hand and press in just a little bit. Feel how comforting that feels. And you tell yourself, of course, there's plenty of food. And of course, when I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. This is you talking to your body, right? Calming your body. Of course, we're panicked because we've gone hungry before. We have all this diet trauma, but we don't have to go hungry now. All we need to do is wait until we have the whisper of hunger, then we can eat. Okay? See how that feels to you. The panic is likely some sort of response from past diets or something in your past where you did go hungry. So just take the time to reassure yourself now that there's plenty of food and that you are doing your best to give your body what it needs. Caro says, what would you advise to someone? What if, yeah, to someone who is on the weight loss journey and goes to the gym consistently but keeps ruining progress by occasional binging? ruining progress by occasional binging. Pause plus permission for one. I would go to Betsy's binge calls for sure. I would, you know, I would, I think for me, if this were me, I would look at my trigger. What is triggering me to binge? And how can I manage that trigger with pause plus permission? So there is no, Kara, the one thing you don't want to do is beat yourself up for it. Okay. Because if you think about the binge as part of your habit brain trying to take care of you, then it becomes a situation in which you can talk to your habit brain, give your habit brain other ways to care for you. Okay. So for me, I think I would work on the trigger. I would work, I'd go all the way back to see, okay, why did I binge? And what was I noticing at that time? And how can I plan for that next time? You know, some people consistently binge over certain things, activities. Some people binge because they're comparing themselves to other people. Some people binge because they're upset about something and they're just looking for comfort and relief. So if you think about why do I binge and you kind of work on a plan to manage those thoughts, then you will eventually, with compassion, kind of back up the amount that you binge until you catch yourself before you binge. But for sure, Kara, go to Betsy's binge calls. I think she has one next week. They're monthly on Tuesday nights. Suzanne says, can you speak to humming as a calming strategy? I've now heard it from two different sources. Yeah. Humming, anything musical, anything creative is going to calm you. So I was on one of my calm and confident group coaching calls last night, and one of the members was telling me that she was super stressed at work and got in her car to drive home, started to put in a podcast, and went, no. It's sunny outside. I'm going to open the sunroof. I'm going to put in some music and I'm going to sing along. And she felt better by the time she got home. So, singing, humming, all of that from a biological standpoint helps your vagus nerve calm yourself. Now, that vagus nerve goes from your brainstem all the way down to your pelvic floor. And its job is to be the communication superhighway between your brain and your body. And the more you hum, sing, talk, all those things works that vagus nerve and helps it do its job. Okay. And that vagus nerve, especially the upper part of your vagus nerve, helps calm you. Okay. So, yes, it works. I'm fully on board with any singing, humming, music, dancing, anything like that that you can do to help calm yourself, especially if you are above home base. Okay, Gail says, do you recommend any particular guided meditations? I know the Calm app has guided meditations. One of my clients, who's not Catholic, coincidentally, suggested the Amen app if you are a churchgoer and you want to do some connection work with God, higher power, you can use the Amen app. Let's see. I think Corinne is going to put some meditations in the Corinne 365 in coming months. So you might watch for those. Really, Those are the ones I know of, Gail. So if anybody else knows of a good source of guided meditations, just pop them into the chat so Gail can get some more ideas. Nancy wants to know about the five core pillars. All right, so the five core pillars that I talk about are those things that my nervous system teacher said are like the basics of feeling better inside your body, of going back to home base. Okay, and they are movement, and it doesn't have to be like an hour-long Orange Theory workout. It can be 3 or 4 minutes walking back and forth to the mailbox. It can be chair yoga. It can be anything super easy. So 5 minutes is plenty. More is fine too. So movement is the first one. Nutrition, and that includes water, anything that your body needs to run efficiently in the amounts it needs to run efficiently. Okay. So for me, I love a good donut. Okay. And I will even plan and treat myself to a good donut now and then. But that's not nutrition. Nutrition for me is cottage cheese and fruit or eggs. Eggs hold me for a long time, make my body feel good. Okay. So think about the nutritional things that work for you. So we've got movement, nutrition, sleep. I mean, do we even have to talk about sleep? 7 to 9 hours. I don't care if you're in bed or not in bed. Sorry, asleep or not asleep, as long as you're in bed, having lush thoughts about how you feel about your bed. That's what I do. When I get in bed, I start telling myself, oh my gosh, I love these sheets. I love my pillow. Let me pull that extra blanket up. I find lots of comfort just being in bed. Do I get 7 hours of uninterrupted sleep? No, probably haven't in a decade. Thank you, menopause. But that's okay. I love my bed. I get my rest. So we've got movement, nutrition, sleep, sunshine. Our bodies love sunshine. Have you ever walked outside and automatically your face lifts up to the sun? Happens to me all the time. I walk outside when it's sunny and I get an instant hit of happy. That's why sunshine is one of the five core pillars. Our bodies need sunshine. They need that vitamin D. Then the last one is connection. And connection can come in a lot of different ways. There's connection to self, which is self-care, self-awareness, self-compassion, understanding yourself, loving yourself. Checking in with your body, all that's connection with self. Connection with others could be a partner, could be kids, could be accountability groups, could be family, any kind of family. Connection with nature. So I have a client, I'm not even kidding, who has a tree in her yard that she goes out and hugs. She has a tree hugging tree. Have you ever walked through the grass in your bare feet? There's something about it, right? Or hiked in the woods? Something about that connection with nature. That's my favorite form of connection. Connection with animals. You ride a horse, pet your dog, love that cat, go to the zoo, petting zoo, connection with animals. And then connection with a higher power, if that is something that is your thing. You know, praying, meditating. Going to church. You know, if you are a churchgoer and you hit the sanctuary and you automatically feel good, you know that that's a good connection point for you. Okay, so five core pillars: movement, nutrition, sleep, movement, nutrition, sleep, connection, and sunlight. Thank you, Dina. It's funny. I always forget one of them. I need to just write them down and put them on my post-it note on my desk. All right. Karen says, I'm dealing with treatment to increase my sleep and quality. Some days I feel alive. Some days I'm so tired I can't function well. And so on the tired days, I'm worse than a 3-year-old throwing a fit because she isn't getting a toy at the store. It's not a situation of just being able to go to bed. I start out my day this way and I have to go through the motions of my normal work day. Any suggestions to self-soothe when I feel like my brain power is minimal? And I have the actual common sense of a 3-year-old. Yeah, see, this is why sleep is a core pillar. This is why sleep is a basic, is because our bodies need it. Our bodies need that rest. So, Karen, if you're not able to get that rest, that's okay. Find ways that you can release the tension in your body as you go through the day. Use the other four pillars as you can. When I was sick last week with the COVID, I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't getting good sleep for sure. Body temperature was up, coughing at night, and all the things. And thankfully, since I work from home, I was able to go and lay down every now and then. Maybe what you do when you're at work and you're having one of these days is when you go to the bathroom, seriously, when you go to the bathroom, you sit down on the toilet, just take a moment. Take a moment, relax your body, breathe a little bit, and give your brain just a little bit of rest. Okay? And then pull in the rest of those pillars. Talk kindly to yourself. That toddler's gonna be in there, that 3-year-old's gonna be in there, but you can go, boo, I got you. I know you're tired. It's just today. We'll get some rest when we can. Okay. Laura says, any tips when the time between stress and eating is so fast and time to think is last? Yes. So notice when that happens, even if it's after the eat. Notice without judgment. Don't go, oh, you jackass, you did it again. None of that. Okay, because that is not going to be helpful. It's not going to help you notice and decide next steps. So if you blow right by the pause and go straight to eating, you pull out your journal, you pull out your discovery worksheet, you assess without judgment, and you decide how you want to talk to yourself about it. Okay, because the more you do that work, the more your brain will realize that, if we overeat, we're going to assess. And what did we learn on our last assessment? Oh, yeah. We decided that, XYZ. Let's try that. Okay. So get in the practice of assessing the overeat, but assessing it with kindness, normalize it. Of course, we overeat. This is what we do. Of course, we overeat. We're still learning how not to overeat. Okay. Assess with kindness, normalize. And decide what you want to do next time. And whether or not you're actually able to do that, the more you give your body that suggestion, your brain, your habit brain that suggestion, the more it's going to respond to it. Okay? Anonymous wants to know, what is home base? So home base, Jane talks about this in the Trusting Your Body course, and I talk about this in my Confident Calm and Confident course. Think of home base as that place where you feel your best. You feel calm, peaceful, prepared, grounded, settled, maybe even happy. You feel confident. You feel, gosh, settled, peaceful, just a calm comes to mind. When you are those things, when you feel that way, your conscious brain is totally online. It's going, I got you. We are cruising through this day. We are, prepared. We're productive. We're encouraged. We're all those things. But what happens is something around us takes place, or people say things, or stressors happen, and we begin to leave home base. We get excited, or we get anxious, or we get worried. Our energy increases. And we go off of home base. It's not a problem, it's just what happens. Okay? Same thing happens when energy decreases in our body. Like Karen was talking about. She goes through days where she doesn't sleep well, so she has an energy low. Okay? So that lower energy can take you like below home base. None of that's a problem. It's just how do you react when you leave home base? If you eat to try and get back to home base, that's not, that's what we were talking about when it comes to stress. Okay. You're going to end up in a cycle of, responding to stress with eating and not solving the issue. But if you just gently remind yourself that home base is available, if we just breathe for a minute, or we take some time, or we rest, or we respond to the stress in a productive way, then we come back into home base, into that place where we feel our best. Does that make sense, Anonymous? You got that? You can give me a thumbs up if not. Okay. Y'all, that's the last question. That's the last question. What did you think? I'm very curious. What did you think about this concept of brain hunger versus stomach hunger? Do you think you can latch on to that? I'd love to hear about you practicing that through the week. Maybe post about it in the Facebook group. What did you notice when your brain tried to tell you you're hungry and you checked with your body? What did you notice? Sometimes they agree, but a lot of times they don't. And it's that brain hunger that can have us eating before we are physically hungry. So when Corinne talks about wait for the physical cues, you can go back to, is it module? It's either module 2 or module 3 of No BS, and she goes through all those physical cues. Go back and review those, and then use your brain to assess your stomach, not to just assume that you're hungry. Okay? Anybody have any other questions before we call it a day? I've had so much fun being here. Thank you, Dina, for managing the chat like a boss. Thank you all for being here. Feel free to go into Ask Coaches, ask us any questions you want, tag us in the Facebook group. We are here for you in whatever capacity you need us. Okay? All right. Y'all have a great day, and I will see you soon. Bye.